Barbeat presents What's Happening.
If the whole global pandemic thing that's killed countless millions worldwide has you wishing you could hang out in a bar and pay 12 bucks for a gin and tonic again, then stop on in at Social Distance, a misguided attempt to get back to a new normal. Sit alone, sealed in 3-foot square plexiglass booths in a stark white room half filled with people doing the exact same thing while the wait staff in hazmat suits siphon drinks to you through rubber tubes all night long. For all you party monsters who get off on tempting fate, the place to be is Viral Load, your one-stop hotspot for communicable diseases. At Viral Load, the first 100 patrons through the door get personally coughed on by our COVID-positive doormen. Wednesday night is smallpox night. Order one of our cocktail specials and enjoy an authentic experience of indigenous people with a complimentary infectious blanket to take home. Thursdays, enjoy our signature Long Island iced teas. Gin, rum, tequila, vodka, hepatitis, and triple sec, topped with a cherry and a tongue depressor. Fridays, it's our Wheel of Misfortune. Take a chance on a spin for cash and prizes. Win a case of Bud Light or a case of human papillomavirus. Saturday afternoons, bring the kiddies for fun and games, face painting, and Vaxy the Clown, handing out balloon animals and full-blown cases of pink eye to everyone under 12 all afternoon long. At the Holiday Inn, the Wedding Rings Off Lounge is contractually obligated to present the comic stylings of veteran stand-up Larry Dombrowski as he works the bugs out of his latest onstage persona, Larry Lockdown. Watch in ever-growing aggravation as Larry recites his 45 to 50-minute set of quarantine jokes off 3x5 index cards. Hear the one about the sourdough bread, the one about the wackier side of jigsaw puzzles, air fryers, Peloton bikes, red wine, and sourdough bread again. Until 10:30, when the stage and the first three rows of seats are slathered with Perel, and Anthony LeClaire makes his appearance with his tribute to Elvis, the king of rock and roll. That time Elvis played a doctor in a movie with Mary Tyler Moore. If Elvis was a short, balding black man who played Dr. My Eyes over and over on a harmonica while dressed like that COVID molecule they show every night on the evening news. I'm Steve Gronin. Call the Barbie Dictaphone if you've got nothing better to do.
It's the Duck Logic Comedy Half Hour, 30-ish minutes of sketch comedy, improv, songs, and whatnot, pulled from the audio archives of Duck Logic, a Chicago improv group that produced their own two-hour comedy show called The Cavalcade that played on WLUP AM 1000 radio in Chicago back in the day. Plus, there's some new stuff thrown in for good measure. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a kooky stroll down memory lane with Duck Logic, because
they're wacky comedy guys. Just a bunch of comedy guys, funnier than they realize, those wacky, kooky, cut-up comedy guys.
Hello, my name is Dale Schultz, and I'm here today to try to talk you into parting with a little of your hard-earned cash. I'm not with Greenpeace, or Feed the World, nor am I out to help rid the planet of all known diseases. I'm a salesman, and proud of it. Although I have nothing of any real value to offer you, I have spent a lot of time and money conducting surveys that tell me you're listening now, even as I speak. They also tell me that a great number of you are between the ages of 18 and 35 and will respond simply because of the background music. You may be asking yourself, why is he telling me this? Well, the answer is an easy one. I'm banking on the purest value of the American dream to touch your hearts and open your wallets. The single value that enables you to overlook anything I may or may not have done. Honesty. Honesty is the best policy, my mother always said. All through history, honesty has played an important part in shaping America's values. George and his cherry tree, Honest Abe, and even Ollie North are testament to the unstoppable power of honesty. With this in mind, I must admit that I'm so ashamed at the utter worthlessness of the product I've chosen to sell that I'd rather not associate my name with it by mentioning it here. I can say that you'll never find this product anywhere for more than I'm asking. Guaranteed. Its most unique feature is its ability to be confused with more expensive name brand items. And once you have it in your home, it will quickly find a welcome place among your least used household tools in the corner of the garage or some forgotten place in the basement or attic. It's also a gift that keeps on giving, because whoever you give it to will probably save it, unopened, for for the next obligatory gift they have to buy. Remember, I'm being honest, totally honest. I could tell you couldn't live without my product, but you're too intelligent. I could tell you that it's a one-of-a-kind, but you'll see hundreds at the mall this weekend. So why not buy from someone you can trust? Me, an honest guy. Send $14.95 plus $1 for shipping and handling to this station, and I'll send you my product. You'll be glad you did business with an honest person, no matter what it turns out to be.
Trent Ashton is an idealistic young doctor fresh from the University of Guadalajara Medical School. He joins the staff of an affluent suburban hospital and turns it upside down as he battles competent administrators, diligent nurses, and healthy patients in his eternal quest to make a difference in this world. He's young, he's dedicated, he cares, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's Trent Ashton, Subpar MD.
Well, Dr. Cartwright, I think it's easy to see by these x-rays that there is definitely a cracked vertebrae.
I agree, Dr. Gunn. We operate today.
Good. I'll get the patient prepped.
Cartwright! Oh, here you are. I've been turning the hospital upside down looking for you, and I find you in this dark room with some cutie looking at negatives? What is this, some golf outing photographs or something?
This isn't some cutie, Trent. This is Dr. Gunn. And we're looking at x-rays of the patient in 64A.
X-rays? Looks to me like you should send them back to the photomat and get them developed properly, Cartwright.
Trent, you moron. These are x-rays of the patient, not negatives. They show the inside of the body. See there? You can see the skeleton and the major organs.
Sounds like a lot of scientific mumbo-jumbo to me. You may be the hospital administrator, but I think it's about time we got back to some simple basics of good healthcare and stop running around paying homage to the great god of technology. I think we have better things to do than driving up the patient's bills using expensive toys.
How do you check for internal injuries, Dr. Trent?
Well, at the University of Guadalajara, we didn't have the fancy schmancy facilities of the National Institute of Health or the Mayo Clinic, but we had plenty of common sense and ingenuity. We just had patients stand in front of really large candles, or for really fat people, we had them swallow 75-watt bulbs.
Light bulbs? How did you get patients to swallow light bulbs?
Simple, Dr. Gunn. We told them they had to swallow the light bulbs or a 15-pound lit candle. Sometimes you gotta be hard to help people.
You told patients in your care to swallow 75-watt light bulbs?
That's right, Cartwright. If they had trouble, we'd give them a teaspoon of honey.
Trent, I've heard of a lot of amazing things come out of your mouth, but this is the stupidest thing you've ever told me.
Go ahead and criticize, Cartwright. You wouldn't be so hard on me if I wasn't a minority.
You're not a minority.
Yes, I am. I'm a Hoosier.
I'm from Indiana, Trent.
So am I.
Yes, but neither of you is a black lesbian.
You're not a black lesbian.
How do you know? It's pretty dark in this room.
You're not a black lesbian, Trent. You're barely a doctor.
I have the soul of a black lesbian.
You have the mind of a village idiot.
It's futile to argue with closed minds. Why don't you validate my parking ticket and I'll go home, Cartwright?
You don't have a car, Trent.
Yes, but I have a perfectly good parking stub and it needs to be validated.
Trent, sometimes I wonder about you and other times I just don't care.
So stay tuned every once in a while for the sporadic adventures of Trent Ashton, Subpar MD.
People, we all grew up when puppets were big. I don't know, you played cartoons on shows. We grew up with this guy named Bill Jackson, the late Bill Jackson.
Stop it.
From Cartoon Town. He made the puppets. He did the voices. He wrote songs for the show. He produced it. He edited it.
He made sandwiches for the crew.
He did.
Trimmed their toenails. He helped them with their homework.
This is Tim's Bill Jackson tribute, which he's been waiting to put up.
I've been waiting to do this.
And you could tell how long ago it was because Bill Jackson, his on-air nickname was BJ Jackson. It was BJ.
Yeah.
Without irony.
Because it's Bill Jackson. And he had his main hand puppet. It was a dragon called Dirty Dragon.
BJ and the Dirty Dragon. Yeah. You don't get away with that today.
Wait a minute. BJ and the Dirty Dragon? Are you kidding me? I wasn't around here, folks, for this. This is new to me. He was named BJ, and he had a dirty dragon.
Dirty dragon.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, dirty dragon. Thank you, because like they didn't have it in Dayton, Ohio. Some kind of dirty animal that was a puppet.
Every city, as far as I know, I had some sort of local host of something or other. I know
I had Uncle Al and Captain Windy. Uncle Al played banjo, and Captain Windy was...
Of what?
A captain. I don't know. She had a glossy suit. She would spin a baton, but she would just hold her hand there, and they had a spinning thing overlay on it. So her baton would spin around, and they would sing their own happy birthday song, because, of course, they couldn't pay for the regular one.
I have to go back to my tribute to Bill Jackson, because he had a great character called the Blob. And the Blob...
Really? It would just talk like that? Just...
He was a blob of clay.
Yes.
Ah.
And he would mush around his face and stuff.
Mm.
Jackson would build the face or something as he spoke, or as he would change the...
Oh, wow.
It was like a blob of 10 inch by 10 inch rounded cube of clay, and he would build a face wherever he was talking.
Yeah, like while he's talking to him, right?
Oh, that's cool. He's actually teaching kids how to create rather than just entertaining them.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't teaching them so much as just doing it.
Well, that's what I mean. That's how you really teach a kid, by just doing it. You don't teach them. You just have fun with something, but you show them how it can happen. And they pick up on it much quicker.
And he would take kids' initials.
Oh.
He would take write kids' initials on the board and make a face.
That's right. He would do like a little doodle like you would like you're at the carnival, and he'd
sign it off and give it to somebody and say, no. But you can't have it until your mom gives me her a few digits here.
I'm not called BJ for nothing.
I will miss that mostly about Bill Jackson.
It wasn't Phil Jackson?
I don't know if there's any relationship there. I thought that all Jacksons were related to each other.
Now, they were part of the Jackson 5, right, originally?
It's the Jackson 5.
The Jackson 705.
Andrew Jackson?
Yeah, Andrew.
Bill Jackson.
There was, I believe, Reggie Jackson's in there someplace.
Yeah, too. Reggie.
Yeah.
But Kate Jackson was nice.
Amazing. A grand dame of theater and television and movies, no doubt.
Yeah, she gave Jackson's a good name. You just wanted a pinch of cheeks, don't you think?
All four of them.
Remember Jackson Brown wanted to get on the whole Jackson thing?
And you're like, excuse me, I think it has to be your surname. And then there was Jackson Pollock. Oh, ooh, he also got upset.
Well, they were going to start their own club with the first name guys, and I didn't think it was going to catch. It didn't.
Okay, who's going to tell Jackson Pollock he can't be in the club? Because you knew you were going to get paint thrown at and various designs or whatever, right? You know, on your...
Somebody would try and sell you for a lot of money.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd get it, too. That's the thing. I think it was Samuel L. Jackson finally put an end to it.
Thank God.
Shoeless Joe Jackson was... talk about a brouhaha from the old days.
Yeah. None of that stuff would have happened with the Black Sox throwing the World Series, all that stuff, if the dude would have occasionally, I'm sorry... worn some shoes.
Hmm.
And there was a guy that came up with him at the same time, Legless Leroy. And he was a good hitter, but there's that something extra that Shoeless had.
Remember a pantless Bob Baker?
Yes.
Remember pantless Bob? Yeah. He didn't make it very long because he's kind of panty. He had shoes, though. That's the weird thing. He had shoes.
Yes.
But pantless Bob, he liked the little hair.
Remember a waistless Frank?
Waistless Frank, a problem.
Yeah, he had this tiny little strike zone. It was really tough to get anything in there. No waist. He had no waist. He
Which went, like, was from the smart.
Chest right to his...
If we could get a Jackson cohesiveness in this country again, unbelievable, right? The answers are all there in the last name Jackson.
Get them all together and they get rings and they put them together and like power.
And they become one big gigantic Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yes.
Giant Jackson. Hi, everybody. No, Giant Jackson.
Giant Jackson, yeah. Can you imagine? They might be giants.
They might be shorter than Giant Jackson. That's what they might be.
I think we're all a little Jackson inside, a little bit.
I hope so. I really hope so.
I got above the national average Jackson.
Yes. Jose, can you Jackson?
Yeah. I always have a reaction to my Jackson. There's no doubt about that. I've kind of come to peace with my inner Jackson.
Well, thank goodness for Jacksons. You know what I'm saying? Really. Because where would this country be?
If we didn't have them, we'd have to invent them.
Yeah. The Jacksons, God bless them.
They give so much.
I want to be the next Freddie Jackson. Which Jackson do you guys want to be?
Junior Jackson. I don't know who he is, but I'm sure there's one out there.
There he is.
I want to be Jackson the Third. Somebody, David Jackson the Third. I like the Third at the end, just to give it a little bit of flair.
God, why didn't I think of that?
That's exactly what I want people to think. There's going to be something more than, you know, than they're actually going to get when I come in the room.
Guys, I don't know how to admit this, but I'd like to be Paris Jackson, you know, Michael Jackson's daughter. Ooh. You know, she's kind of hot and probably he's a millionaire and stuff. She's tall.
I would like to be Plaster of Paris Jackson.
That's one of her products. That's some of her merch. Ooh. Plaster of Paris Jackson.
Yeah. Yes. Still sticking with Freddie Jackson.
Well, gentlemen, I do feel like there's a lull. I don't have any more Jackson jokes, so you could just slowly fade it out and have some music come up. And then.
Fat boy? Fat boy? Where is that fat boy?
Fatback and Palm Oil, makers of Odiotes and other fine food products, brings you the continuing adventures of Fat Boy and his sister. Starring Buddy Bernard as Fat Boy, Don LaPetri as Babs, his sister, Terrence Roundbottom as Dad, Fat Boy's father, Rene Robert as Mom, Fat Boy's mother, Rick Rodentlover as Pinhead, Fat Boy's best friend, and Cal St. Perryberry as Terlane, the man who needs no introduction. I'm your announcer, Victor Film Noir. In our last episode, Fat Boy and his sister have discovered on the wharves of Omaha, Nebraska, a seedy warehouse containing millions of chocolate bars. As they puzzle over this discovery, they are surprised by Klaus von Lowenbrau, colonel in Der Führer's Chocolate Panzer Division. Realizing they've stumbled upon a Nazi plot of global proportions, Fat Boy, that lad of lard, and his sister Babs decide that discretion is the better part of valor.
Run for it, Fat Boy.
I am running, Babs. I'm stuck in this door.
Push, Fat Boy.
I told you that you would not escape, yeah? And now you are trapped like wieners in the schnitzel, pickles in the jar, hassen in the pfeffer, huh?
I'm getting hungry, Babs.
Good idea. If you drool enough, we can squeeze you through the door pronto.
Stop with the foolishness. You are prisoners of Klaus von Lowenbrau, colonel of the Führer's Chocolate Panzer Division. I'm going to wrap both of you up like they're bonbons and ship you by submarine to Berlin.
This is Nebraska, Kraut. There ain't any submarines around here.
The submarine will look very much like a Ford truck, schmatty pants. You will be happy to know that by the time you reach Berlin, your weak country will be completely devoid of chocolate. Once more, the Führer will be getting German chocolate cake for Christmas, and the brave German soldiers of the Western Front will have chocolate bars to purchase their sex from the fat Russian peasant women. Happy days are here again.
It won't work, von Lowenbrau. We found out about you. You can bet the government will, too.
What do you know about it, Grossenkinder? After the Gestapo gets through with brainwashing, we will make you the poster boy for the Nazi youth, huh? You might like the Lederhosen, huh?
Leather gives me prickly heat. It's very uncomfortable.
Nothing doing, Goose Stepper. Fat Boy is a true blue American of the good old USA.
Keep with the talking, brat. The Führer can find many uses for the little girls with the big mouth.
Hold it right there, Nazi. The jig is up.
It's Terlane, the man who needs no introduction.
Nonetheless, I'll introduce myself now, Babs. I'm Terlane, G-Man.
Ach du lieber, Gott in the Himmel, was ist das? Mein Gott, mein Kind, mein Schnickelgruber, Gott in the Himmel!
He's running away, he's
Don't
running
worry,
away!
Babs, Fat Boy has blocked the only exit with his patriotic train.
Get out of my way, you boy of blubber! My God, it's like trying to push the Hindenburg without gas in it!
Give it up, von Lohenbrau. There'll be no dessert for you after this meal.
I give up.
Good idea, von Lohenbrau. Well, fat boy, you and your sister have done it again.
Just doing my duty as an American, Tulane.
Yeah, I bet von Lohenbrau has learned that in the U.S., we measure patriotism by the pound.
Yeah, fat boy got lots of guts, all right.
Sounds like sour grapes, eh, fat boy?
Sour grapes can be pretty tasty.
Fat boy, you're the greatest.
Well, we're back on Spud's Miracles Corner, and that was just a bit of an episode. Well, one of the originals of Fat Boy and His Sister. That episode was called "Hey Joe, I Got Any Hershey?" And that was very, very topical at the time, wasn't it? We're here, by the way, with Fat Boy star Buddy Bernard.
Oh, yes, you know, we used to make the show live once a week, and so we had the opportunity to be very topical.
Yeah, and you know, you can just picture, because of what radio was back then, you can just picture the swastikas around the arms of the young man that played the Nazi, can't you?
You know, back then, radio was the big room with a couple microphones, a sound effect man, and an audience.
And I understand that it was hard for the writers to really get settled right away when they would start on writing a show like Fat Boy. Now, could you tell me, please, just for our audience's purposes, and for mine too, what would the writers do the first thing they showed up on Monday?
Well, they'd all show up with hangovers because they like to drink. They were those kind of men. And then they were, let's say, Buddy, what would you like to eat this week? And from that we'd build the show up.
And the thing I used to love about probably the most about the show was I would always try to smell the odor wafting from the radio from your show, you know? And I always wondered, what would Fat Boy's sweat glands smell like? At the time, there were soup kitchens to help people that were poor.
Yeah.
And there were people sending whatever aid they possibly could over to the boys overseas. What kind of aid was the show Fat Boy and His Sister sending over? What kind of, any kind of paraphernalia from the show?
We send 8x10s and pictures of Babs, my sister, in her coveralls with a rivet gun. You know?
Rivet guns, yes, I remember those,
Babs was just great. What a great person.
Now, I understand that Babs was played by a young man on the show.
Babs was actually played by a young Fahey Flynn, and he was just wonderful.
Did he still wear the bow ties back when he was younger?
Oh, yes, a bow tie and coveralls. He was the cutest little kid. He had this little 24 lock that would come down on his forehead.
And I understand that Odie Oates was a large part of the American, it was a part of the American effort back then, too, wasn't it?
Of course, we would just send barges full of Odie Oates overseas to England during the Blitz on Britain, and they'd send it right back.
And what about Terence Roundbottom? Could you fill me out on whatever happened to Terence Roundbottom? He played your father, I think, on the show.
Well, you know, into the 50s, Terence blacklisted by the McCarthy people. I don't know if that's really well known.
Oh, yeah, they thought that he was a communist, I think, or something like that, or an infiltrator.
Well, the truth can be told now, because Terence just passed away recently.
Oh, really? That's too bad.
5 minutes ago in the hallway out there, he just dropped like a stone.
That's very sad.
I guess we can bring it out now. Terence was a communist. He would bomb orphanages, and he was sending secret documents to Russia. It was...
Buddy, the show made the transition to television, early 50s. You made 4 episodes as Fat Boy, and then you quit in mid-season for Francis Dean to take over. Can you explain why you quit the show?
Well, you gotta remember I was, what, 35 or something during show.
Sorry.
It gets a little embarrassing having your butt sticking out of your pants all the time.
Were there any perks for the show? You know, that's what they call them nowadays. Nowadays in that business, they call them perks. Were there any benefits that you would get from the show?
Well, you know, our sponsor at that time was Sara Lee, and I don't have to tell you the benefits I got from that.
Exactly. You're quite a big really bone man.
Stretched my character.
That's true. You know, I want to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
And that is, I know you come from a long line of Buddy Bernards.
Oh, yes.
And I know that your son is following your footsteps. He's got lifestyles of the fat and famous,
lifestyles of the fat and famous.
And a little background on what Buddy Bernard the Fifth is doing.
Well, he's getting very successful. I'm very proud of him, and he eats very well. He cleans his plate still. And, you know, he did that big thing on Orson Welles.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And then he did that little thing with Mama Cass.
You know, the funny thing is about every one of your son's shows is that the person he's interviewing, Buddy, dies right after the show. Why is that?
Well, you gotta remember, a lot of people, they don't learn what I learned a long time ago. That you should chew your food before you swallow it. Mama Cass never learned that. She liked something, it just went, it was just gone. She never put a tooth into it.
That's too bad. That's such a shame.
It is too.
You've been in a different career. You got out of show business entirely. You got out of it in the early 60s. What are you doing now with yourself, Buddy Bernard?
I'm running a fat farm where people can put a few more pounds of meat on their bones. You know, I get Peggy Lee's coming down. And
that question raises that they're making the movie, Fat Boy and His New Sister. I know that's going to be coming out with, I believe, some rap group doing the track. I don't. That's a music that's, you know, familiar to young people. Are you going to be involved in it in any way?
Well, you know, I'm going down to the recording studio and do the song for that movie, which is Jiggle Jiggle. It's kind of a peppy tune. I think you're going to like it out there.
Buddy Bernard, any last piece of wisdom that you could just give the people that are listening to you right now?
If I really had to do it all over again, I think I'd make sure that you eat the roses.
That's such a nice thought to leave us with, Buddy. Thank you so much for joining us here on Spuds Merkel's Corner. And next week,
just take time to eat those roses.
Such a good thought. And next week we're going to be talking with Steamboat George McGonagall.
And you know, daisies are kind of tasty too. They did a movie on that.
Yes,
please don't
I
eat the
exactly
daisies.
Right. Yes.
When actually, I guess if you chew them, they get kind of vinegary.
Right, exactly.
Tulips are kind of nice.
Well, there you have it, the Duck Logic Comedy Half Hour, show number 41. Featuring, in alphabetical order, David Dunlosky, Ann and Walter Mitschke, James F. Russell, and Tim Thomas. So yeah, next week? Subscribe to the Comedy Half Hour, merely because I told you to, and follow us on social media when we remember to post something. Our website is ducklogiccomedy.com. Our old cable show is Cableville USA, somewhere out there on YouTube. Portions of the show were previously broadcast back in the day over the radio airwaves under the copyright of Duck Logic Limited and the licenses of WLUP AM and FM in Chicago. That'll do it.